you so much for listening to this episode of That Gabby Rawson Podcast. Before we start this episode, I'd like to share the love, and I'd like to recommend another podcast for your ears, after you've listened to this one, of course. If, like me, you love your food, then Heston Blumenthal's Journey to the Center of Food podcast is amazing. You'll know Heston. He's the world's most inventive chef, and he delves deep inside foods to reveal the wonderful universe inside them. From tea and coffee to Britain's greatest chocolate bar, the perfect way to use eggs, and the future of robots making food. This week, he's diving inside the American Sweet Shop. My daughter loved this. Perfect for anyone with a sweet tooth who fancies a Tootsie Roll or a Hershey bar. If you'd like some food escapism, I recommend Heston Blumenthal's Journey to the Center of Food, available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to our podcast. I can't believe that this episode is finally here because I've been looking forward to this for so long. It's our Line of Duty AC12 special. Yes, we have Hastings, Kate Fleming and Steve Arnott, the incredible Adrian Dunbar, Vicky McClure and Martin Compston together. We, of course, talk about Line of Duty Series 6, which begins on the 21st of March on BBC One. There are so many laughs in this episode. The three of them are like a comedy sketch show. We chat about singing, how they handle fame, their shared love of eating curry. Trust me, there's a lot about curry. And their hilarious pranks on set. One of them even sings to me. I'm so thankful that this episode is sponsored by one of my favourite companies, Simproof. It's a food supplement combining live and active bacteria, which has done absolute wonders for both mine and my family's health. I'll tell you more about them very soon. But if you'd like more information, go to simproof.com with discount code GABY15 for 15% off the 12-week programme. Now, we recorded this episode on Zoom, so it does sound a little bit different than usual. Enjoy!
Oh, lovely to see you, Gabby.
Lovely to see you, Gabby.
Adrian, all right.
The last time I saw you, Adrian, was with Terry Wogan, and you came on the Terry and Gabby show, and it must be about 17 or 18 years ago.
Bloody hell.
You don't look any different.
Neither do you, babe.
Do we leave you
can't see me. You can't see me, thank goodness. So you guys, 9 years later... It is still going strong and I cannot wait. Any minute now, we're all going to be celebrating AC12 again. I don't want any of you to tell me anything about the next series, but can you tell me something about it?
Go on, Martin.
Well, just without giving it away, but one of the things I find really exciting about it, I think I've said this before and I think I speak for most of us, is that all of our sort of personal favourite series to do was series 3 because it was a culmination of 1, 2, 3 and we were building to this big climax, and it feels we're back at that point. It feels like series 4 and 5 have all been building to this, and in some ways the whole series has been building to this. Without giving much away, I think there's a lot of big answers coming this series. There's a lot of big answers. There's a few things that are going to be happened that people have been looking for a few years.
Do you know the shame about podcasts is that people can't see that cheeky Martin? You're doing it now. You're doing it now.
It's my default setting.
Do you know that you've now become, that you're in the top 20 of all time best police shows ever?
Wow, that's, no, I didn't know that.
Who did you compile that list?
No.
If you did that, I want to be a bit higher.
No. I'm your number one. You're in the top 20 of all time ever in the history of cop shows. This is around the world.
Around the world, wow.
Oh, that's an honour.
So I decided to look up other things. This is what I found out about the three of you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, take a deep breath, Vicky. For $44.94... you can buy a full-size cardboard cutout of Vicky McClure, Adrian Dunbar, and Martin Compston.
Unfortunately, I've seen a few of them.
Yep. There's you, Martin, with you're in a black tie, and then there's casual dress.
Vicky, there's you in a miniskirt with white boots and just regular outfit. And Adrian, there's you with your hand in a pocket looking very chic, I have to say. But I wondered how you felt about this, because Ryan Gosling is only £31 and a penny and the Queen is £28 and 40 pence.
How I feel about it is I think my wife's friends, I didn't make her last birthday party, so they bought her one of them as me as a standby because I was away. And she keeps it behind her bar, our bar. And when I come down for a glass of water in the middle of the night, it scares the shit out of me every time. I hate the thing.
You just mentioned your bar. You built a bar in your place in Vegas, didn't you, in your house?
Yeah. It's just, when we got the place and I saw it was like a formal welcoming area or something like that. And we got it, it was my late 20s, early 30s. And I'm too young for a formal welcoming area and dining in the house. So I have a very understanding wife, and I got tenants to make me a tap. Just with everything that's going on, of course, but I was hoping the guys, we'd have a sort of week, we'd start doing the rehearsals at my place around the bar and stuff for the next series. Unfortunately, they've not get out yet. I was really looking forward to, Neil Morrissey was supposed to be out this year filming a show, and I was so excited about that, but they had to move location with everything that's going on. But hopefully at one point I can get you all out and can have a pint at the bar.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be like doing any rehearsals.
Adrian, I have to say, not just obviously Line of Duty, but thank you for taking me around Ireland recently.
Oh, yeah. I had a great time doing that. It was just a fabulous trip. And I think everybody was sort of waiting on somebody to do some kind of a trip so that we could all get our heads around it again, the idea of traveling, you know what I mean?
It's so beautiful. I'm ashamed to say I've never been, but I feel like I went there with you.
Yeah, you should get there. It's only an hour away. You know, you just hop on a plane, you're there. It's like going to Edinburgh or Glasgow or, you know, nipping down to Cardiff. It really is simple. And the West Coast in particular is really beautiful. There's about a 2,000 kilometre road called the Wild Atlantic Way that a lot of people are starting to travel. It's one of the longest coastlines in Europe. So it's a great buzz. Yeah, it's a great buzz and great people, of course. And then if it does start to rain, which sometimes it does, apparently, you can always head for the high stool.
What's the high stool? I miss that. Has that gone straight over my head?
Like the bar.
Oh, I see. Yes, thank you very much. Straight over my head. You're used to him. I haven't seen him for 18 years. Yeah, I haven't. Adrian, the one thing that obviously you all have in common is singing. Vicky knows what we're going to talk about it in a minute. Dementia Choir, I'm a massive fan, and that show is just one of the most remarkable things. But now you, Adrian, I have spent all morning listening to you singing.
Oh, Gabby, that's very sweet.
Well, it's very lovely. Your Irish, I found online an Irish folk song of you singing an Irish folk song that I've listened to about 5 times this morning. And I even called my husband and said, come and listen to this. This is amazing. It's beautiful.
Oh, thanks, Gabby. Yeah, thanks, darling. I love singing. I've always loved singing. My mum was a really, really brilliant singer. Even the sewing machine we had was a singer. But it's in the family, and singing is great. It's, you know, it's one of the greatest things you can do. And I've always been lucky to kind of be in bands, and it's something I thought I was going to do actually before I became an actor. I thought I was definitely going to be in bands. Somehow I was going to be a singer in a band or something, even if I was doing it kind of part time. And so I've just kept it going, and I really love it, and I hope that at some point I might actually do an album of some sort.
That's what the people want, Abba.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, I think I might do an album this year at some point, Gabby, and do some standards, maybe write some songs myself. I have written a few songs in the past. So, but it's hard to know which way to go, whether to do, an album of standards, whether, like from the Great American Songbook, whether to do some kind of, folk type stuff, whether to do,
Will you sing a weeny, weeny, weeny little bit of it for me? It was a beautiful Irish folk song.
And was it in Irish or was it in English?
It was in Irish.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be Kame Mukhi, which is like, it means kind of I am alone. That's the first line. It says, Kame Mukhi Ojirin Yahavare Akurchinishias Gobo and Safada Guger, and so forth.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Go on, Edith.
An album of that. And Martin, is this true as well, that you sing Irish folk songs because that's how you wooed your wife?
I do, but I'm usually drowned out by thousands of people at a Celtic game or at a gig. So that's the only time you catch me singing. But yeah, it was just with my wife. My wife's mixed race with this mass, big mass of hair. And when we first met, I saw she had on an Irish cladder ring and I couldn't get my head around this American girl with that big hair and what a bit of Irish. But turns out her dad is Flynn from County Meath. And
yeah,
so sang her some songs. And yeah, rest is history.
Go on a little bit. Go on, Martin.
No, I genuinely cannot say. I need at least 6 pints is when I start singing. Do not get a song out of me. Not a chance.
Vicky, have you heard him sing?
Yeah, I've heard him sing, like, you know, football anthems. I can see why he's not wanting to do it. Oh, no, I'm not a singer, so I'm not going
to
sing either, Gabby, because that's the reason I've got the choir. They sing so beautifully, I leave it to them.
It's such a gift being able to sing. I've had to sing and films, and it's so, when you're not good at it and you naturally have no rhythm or timing or keys, whatever, it's terrifying, man. All I'd want to do, if I could hold one song on karaoke, I'd be happy. That's all I'd want.
What did we sing? We did karaoke one night in Belfast. Bye-bye, Miss American.
No, was it not Brown Eyed Girl we did?
No, I think it was that, because I've got it on video, and we were just awful.
Well, we are.
Like, it was awful.
Vicky, of course, let's talk about Dementia Choir, because as you know, what a massive fan I am. I think it's the most extraordinary thing. And obviously, Adrian, you took part as well in the special over Christmas. Is that still going on, Vicky? Are you going to do more of those?
Yes, we are. It's still going very strong. We never stopped from when we did the series. We carried on going with the sessions, and then COVID came and we've carried on doing it over Zoom. I mean, they've been amazing. Everybody, you know, from people that are living on their own, living with dementia, everybody's been able to set it up with all ages, all abilities, and everybody's been great. And we've got some things going on now. So we're doing some virtual sort of singing concerts. So there's a bit more rehearsal time to do. So we're being a bit stricter with them, because at the minute we get on the Zoom and we just chat, you know, have a little sing song, but it's not as, you know, we just need to make sure they're still having to sort of challenge themselves. It's been a really rough year because we've lost 5 people now in the choir. So that's really tough, because it's, you know, it's like a little family, and we just keep losing people, and we know it's coming, but never makes it any easier. So it's been a bit of a rough ride recently. So the minute we're all, you know, there's a lot of them that have been vaccinated now. And once they're all vaccinated and the world starts to reopen, we'll be in a room together as soon as we can.
The tough thing, though, for people with dementia is actually trying to explain that they've had to be separated from other people. And that, you know, for everybody, the past year has been an extraordinary year. There's no denying it. And heartbreaking as well, as you just say, losing so many people. But the idea to explain to somebody with dementia that everything that they knew has now changed.
Yeah, it's been complex. I mean, you know, some of the choir members really get it, and then some of them less so, because their dementia has progressed, and it's been really challenging, especially those that are in care homes, because they've completely been stripped of any contact with their family. So I do believe that lockdown has meant that people's dementia has progressed, you know, much more rapidly than it would have done had they not have had to go through this and could continue with the exercise and the, you know, routine and just the contact with people and the choir and things like that. And, you know, everyone in the choir said the same. So that's really heartbreaking, because time is so precious when you're given that diagnosis, and we know there's no cure for it. There is, you know, a certain sort of life expectancy. So to know that that time's been robbed is really, really hard for the families to take.
Well, I can't wait to see some more of it on screen. As I said, I think it was the most life-affirming show. It's just extraordinary. Music to all of us has been I mean, Vicky, am I right that your very first album was Gold by the Carpenters?
Yes. I love the Carpenters. These two know how much I love the Carpenters. It was because I'd watched the documentary and I was really like affected by Karen's story. Not that I'd had an experience of eating disorders, but just, you know, the fact that she seemed so sorted and her voice, like if I could have any voice in the world, it'd be hers. And I just loved the song. So yeah, it really took me. And then I still find it really affecting music now. But you know, music is, you go to funerals, you go to weddings, you hear the beginning of Line of Duty, you're having a bad day, a good day, you want to go out and party. Like there's just no end to the joy that it brings and to the meaning of what it brings and how much we need it. You know, I could sit and listen to music all day and not feel like I've not achieved anything. I'd have said that was a bloody great day.
That's so lovely. I love that. Okay, so favourite go-to song of joy then. Adrian, what's your favourite go-to song of joy?
I've got a few. I'd probably say Jose Feliciano singing California Dreaming.
Oh, good choice. You get that one. All right, that's Adrian's. Martin?
I mean, a lot of it depends what kind of mood you're in.
No, but joy, just a joyous
joy,
one.
The Beatles, I've Just Seen a Face.
Okay, you get that one as well. And we know what Vicky's is, anything by the Carpenters?
Anything by the Carpenters, or I'd throw in Proud Mary by Tina Turner and Ike. That just, you know, joy.
Now, as promised, I'd like to tell you more about our fantastic sponsors of this episode. They're Simproof. Now, I've been telling everyone about this company for years before we started working together, I promise. Now, it's a food supplement containing live and active bacteria to support your gut health and a balanced microbiome. The reason it's different to others that you might have tried, it's unique. It's water-based. That means it travels straight to your gut to thrive and multiply. Now, you need these in your gut. Trust me, these are good bacteria. They're a family-run brand produced on a farm in the Surrey Hills. They are so proud of their heritage and their evidence-based product. I've been to the farm. It's a wonderful place and they're great people. Now, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, suitable for vegans and vegetarians. It's available as a subscription or start with their introductory 12-week program. The gut has an incredibly strong connection to the brain. When you sort out your gut, your general health just feels so much better. So for more information, visit the Simproof website and it's simproof.com, S-Y-M-P-R-O-V-E.com. We have an exclusive discount just for listeners of this podcast. Get 15% off the 12-week program by entering the promo code when you're at the checkout. It's GABY15. That's Gabby15 for new customers in the UK. They have a helpful customer care team. Truly, they really are helpful. I call them and ask them things all the time. And we'll put the phone number in the episode description.
Martin and Vicky, you started so young in the industry. I mean, Martin, you're both teenagers when you started out. Does it, looking back on it now, it was really weird because I was reading all the stuff that I was reading about you guys. And somebody said they called you old hands at it. Said three old hands in the industry, Adrian, Martin and Vicky. And you really have. I mean, you know the industry so well, the three of you, because you've done it. You started young. You've been doing it a while. You know, Adrian, you've directed, you've written, yeah. I mean, it's you know the industry inside and out.
And we haven't stopped. Yeah, I mean, any time that there wasn't a job to do as such, I find something else to do. I'm that sort of person, but because I do think it's important. And even at lockdown, I think it's been very important for us all to stay somehow in our creative heads. You know, whatever you're doing, be creative about it, whether it's, you know, you're getting into the gardening or whether you're kind of doing things in your flat or whether you're redecorating or just keep creative. Keep creative all the time. I think that's what's important when you're an actor, to keep creative. But, yeah, we've all been doing stuff for so long. I mean, you know, one of Vicky's first jobs was I was her dad. You know, I mean, all this kind of crack. What age were you then, Vic?
I was 17. Dad. Do you know what you said? Like, I feel like very lucky to have a lot of experience behind me, But then every time there's a new job, not like Line of Duty, because that's, you know, when you go to a returning series or a returning character, you've kind of got a good idea as to what's coming up. But say Mother's Day, for instance, which was based on a true story, a harrowing story that, you know, you really wanted to get right with a heavy Irish accent, which I'd not done before. I felt like I was beginning all over again. You know, I instantly felt like completely out of my depth. And it's the challenges that we always face, I guess. Whereas, you know, Line of Duty, we do have that, you know, we've just got experience now where we can go in and the lines don't feel quite so daunting as they once did, because, you know, we've learned a lot about it. So I'm still, you know, I wouldn't sit there and feel too comfortable that I know everything. I was playing this game with Martin when we was doing Series 6. And it's just on Instagram where it puts something on your head. And something came up on mine that said I was a Foley artist. And I was like, Martin looked at me and went, you don't know what that is, do you? And I was like, no, I haven't got a clue.
But I mean, I think with it, a lot of it comes, if you've got a natural enthusiasm and love for what you do, you can get very far on that. Like, as I say, as Vicky says, there's a lot of stuff we're still doing. You never stop learning with this job. And there's new stuff we're trying. I mean, Adrian's been a prolific writer, successful writer. Vicky's been had a production company for a long time. And I've just started dipping my toe into that. And it was terrifying to start with. But when you just think you kind of need the key elements, you kind of go, well, because you're going, I don't know how to do this. And you're going, well, you need a good script. So you need a writer, you need a producer, and you need a director, and you need a cast. And I know all them, you know. So I think with a lot of passion about something, you can go very far. And I think more than anything, there's a job I've been trying to get done for a while. Just the drive to get it done just sort of kind of rubs off on people. So I think as long as you love what you do, I think that's carried us for a long time. Is I think we've got cynical in some ways that there's, you kind of want a certain size of trailer or something when you turn up. You expect, well, Vicky, anyway. There's different things, whereas you used to just rock up and you'd be in anything, you wouldn't care. There's definitely things where you get to where you expect, but the core of it, just the love of a job and the love of sort of breaking down a script and bringing it back together with people, that's never changed. And as long as you hold on to that, I think you're in a good place.
Okay, who's the most show busy then? Come on, Adrian, you tell me. Who's the most show busy?
I'd say I am, probably. I'm extremely show biz, very glad.
I'd agree.
You know. We're not very show biz, any of us, it has to be said. And you soon get the show biz knocked off you if you bring any of it onto Line of Duty, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The only time you ever see is kind of like getting show busy is when we're all invited together. Then we all get a bit giddy. If we know we can go to an event together.
Yeah.
And have a piss up, really. That's where you kind of, where you're excited to get the glad rags on. But yeah, just again, I think maybe that's getting older and more cynical, where all these things used to be exciting. They're just, you got all dressed up, you're hanging about for hours, standing about in lines for hours, watching these things drone on for hours, and then you kind of get kicked out and go home. They're sort of, they always look great on the telly because they're cut together. When you're there, you're just dying to get to the bar with your mates. They bore you silly.
Comes back with Martin to going to the bar.
Well, you know, I've not been to a bar in about 7-8 months. So, you know, I think it's at the forefront of my mind.
So now, is this also true that when you get the scripts for Line of Duty, that Vicky's the first one, you read them and then you tell the guys? Is this an urban myth?
It's not always the case. Like, I'm sure I've not been the first every time, but it just became a bit of a running joke that I'd say we'd get the scripts at the same time, and then I'd tell them that I'd read them all, and then start telling them like, oh, I'm really sorry that you die, and or, you know, it's awful that, you know, just start making things up.
But there was that one time that actually you did it, where, remember, because we were,
yeah, there was a one.
We were filming, me and Vicky were both filming in Glasgow at the same time, and then we were going straight on to Line of Duty after it. And I don't like reading other scripts when I'm filming something, because you can get obsessed with it and you can start thinking, oh, and the other character comes into your mind. Vicky, of course, had already read them. But it was the year I get thrown over the stairs. And she went, have you really not read what happens? And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she was terrifying me, going, you need to read it. Like, I'm not saying anymore. Just read it. Just read it. Just read it. And then text me, have you read it?
I think as well, was that episode? It's like, it was like episode 2 or 3, wasn't it? So
3. We didn't have 4.
We didn't have 4. So I couldn't say if that meant it was a good outcome or not. I was just like, it doesn't look good.
And that's exactly the way she said it.
who's the biggest joker? Because like you're naughty. I like naughty. I like cheeky. on set though, who's the one that makes everybody else start laughing?
It depends on the mood. Eddie's got the songs, keeps everybody going. He's a one-man band of noises. Ricky just kind of keep a straight face and that gets infectious and everybody laughs. And I like winding them up. But it kind of depends on who's got the most work that day. Because we're good at pissing each other off, but we're good at letting, when somebody has to go into a zone, kind of let them go. But then the other two kind of goes who's on the team, and then the other two kind of take great delight annoying the one who's trying to be serious.
I can imagine it being the best fun. I mean, actually working with people that you see, I mean, you might all hate each other and this is all a con, but I don't think so. But working with people that you really get on with, there is nothing better.
I think the fact that we are openly, you know, like Martin just said, if we piss each other off, like, we don't mind admitting that, because that's what families are like. You know, we have been going for 10 years now, and when we get back together, so when we came back for Series 6, it was like, we're still as excited and buzzed to do the job and see each other as we were way back then. You know, it's not got lost on us. We're not sort of feeling jaded by it or by each other. We spend, you know, as much time as we can together. If we're, you know, if we was out of lockdown, it'd be a different story. We'd be able to see each other a lot more. And if we're not, like tonight, we're having a, you know, a Zoom curry and a beer. And we just, you know, we genuinely enjoy working together. And it is, because it's heavy drama and the dialogue's heavy and whatever else, you've got to be able to have a laugh. Yeah, I mean, I do really enjoy winding AD up, I've got to say.
Yeah, because you do get away with it every time. It just is a worry to me every time you come to me and I haven't read the scripts.
Oh, yeah. This is the other thing. So I love the schedules. I love working everything out, highlighters. I get all the stationery. But then I'll do it for AD as well. So I'll like make him a little chart as to what scenes he's got coming up and if they're like long dialogue scenes. But then every now and then I'll just go into his flat and be like, oh, they've changed the schedule. Because he doesn't think he needs to check it now, because I'm checking it for him. I'm updating all his stuff. And then I'll go, yeah, that scene that's like 13 pages, it's tomorrow. And he'll just, you can just see his face completely drained.
Yeah. No, but you'll be even more evil than that, because what you'll say to me is something like, right, well, okay, that's that. I suppose you'll want to be getting home now. And I'll go, why? Why would I want to be going home now? Because you've got that scene, some scene 43A. What's that? It's the one with you and Martin. It's the 8-pager with you. I said, but that's not till Thursday. No, it's tomorrow. You'll go, oh, yes, yeah. Drive me absolutely mad.
What's your curry tonight then? Who's having what? Who has what curry?
I'm a lamb korma.
I'm a garlic chili chicken.
Yeah, I'd be the same as Vic. Although it depends. If I'm ordering in, it'd be a curry. But I do love a chicken chashlik. Is that what it's called?
Chicken chashlik, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically the tandoori chicken. When I'm out, I do love that. Because there's one particular place in Belfast we always go. And that does a beautiful chicken chashlik. But I think I get the lamb chops and chicken chashlik. I've been having the same meal in there 15 times a year for the last 8 years. And I think I deviated from a starter once. I've never done it again.
I'm so pleased I asked you a quick question. That was the best answer to any curry answer ever.
No, I mean, you've got to take your curry serious. And nobody takes, because as well, Jed is the curry master. Jed is obsessed. I think that's why we got so obsessed with it. Because anytime we go out for a meal and a drink to talk things over, when things are going good, things are going bad, to celebrate, whatever, we go for a meal. And obviously this year we couldn't go out. But Jed's so into his curries and the expert. I didn't even know he'd warmed the plates, and I nearly bumped my bloody hands off picking up the plates out the oven. I didn't even know you were supposed to do that. But he takes them really serious.
I wonder what he'll be ordering tonight.
You know there'll be a sagaloo in there.
Yeah, we'll all be ordering from different places. Mine's the Sharma in Beeston, it's lovely.
I love this. Do they sell curry in Las Vegas?
You know what? I'm sure there will be. There's everything in Vegas. There's everything. There was a nice one in LA. I mean, there's some great ones in Greenock and Gourock back home. There's lovely Thai food in Vegas. And I don't really eat Thai anywhere else, but there's really good Thai in Vegas.
What's the In-Out Burger like?
Mate, why did you have to mention it?
I don't know.
It's the best of the best.
I've never been.
I mean, that's, I can understand why Americans are that obese when the fast food is that good. But it's like fresh fries cooked in front of you, see them chop the potato, the burger patties, the onion. Like it's like a restaurant, the way they cook it. It's a double-double with animal style fries. Change
animal
of life.
Style?
Animal style fries. So it's like cheese and a burger sauce with fried onions over your fries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the double-double burger. Mate, why did you bring
that up?
I won't be having one for a long time.
So you're here at the moment then, Martin? You're not in Las Vegas?
Yeah, no, I'll be here. I split my time. Well, most of the time I'm in the UK, really. I'm very lucky with the job. My wife's got, we've got a house in Vegas where my wife's family are, and got a place back home where I'm from. But most of the time I'm on the road. So, yeah, I'll be here till probably October.
With the family, though? With the family with you?
It's been difficult just because obviously with everything that's going on, well, obviously my wife's got her own career as well to look after, but it's better being at home around her family support. My parents still work where her parents are retired, so she's got that support because I'm never even at our home in Scotland. I'm in Manchester, then I'm in Edinburgh or Belfast, so it's kind of you're getting home and then just leaving them. So I'd rather she was close, because that's one thing I've learned from living on the road. At the best times in London and LA, but if you don't have a support network around you, you can really, really struggle. So when you have a young family, that was really important to me to get as close to both of our sets of parents as possible.
When you do other jobs, do you check in with each other? So when you were doing Nest, did Adrian know about Nest? And when you were doing your tour of Ireland, did you tell the guys? I mean, was it all discussed?
We always know what one another's doing.
I'm very nosy, so it's imperative that I know what they're both doing at all times.
What makes, so we always ask everybody on this podcast, what makes you properly laugh? And you're all gigglers. Okay, one by one, I'm going to ask you, Vicky, what makes you properly belly laugh, lose it, and be honest?
Do you know what? Pure stupidity. I've got a really stupid sense of humour. And Martin said it the other day in an interview, and he's not wrong. Like, I can't tell a joke. I don't get a joke. My dad's a joke teller. I've never understood what he's on about. I can't remember them and I can't tell them. So, but I love stupidity. And, you know, when you was a kid and, like, you'd do a stupid face and get somebody to do it and copy you, and then you see them, it's just the stupid, idiotic things like that make me laugh. Me and Martin have got a stupid voice that we do as the minute we get on set.
Oh, come on, we have to hear that.
Well, we're talking like...
Well, I can't talk a little bit like this, you know, it just goes on that long.
Well, that
wasn't my kind of sound, but you talk like this and people get annoyed. I don't know why. And nobody else finds it funny.
Nobody finds it funny. I find it funny.
Yeah, that would be mine. That would be mine as well. We've been doing that for nearly 10 years, and every series we say we're not doing that stupid voice when we get back. And on day one, and AD just goes, "Oh, I'm not again." And that's us for the year.
Oh God, here they go. They're off again. What are they saying to one another? No idea.
Adrian, what makes you properly belly laugh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm the same. I can, you know, just stupidity, giddiness, you know, that thing of, you know, we're all supposed to be, it's like when you're at school, you know, and everybody's supposed to be quiet and something happens and you just can't stop and, you know, fits of the giggles and all that stuff. You can't quite get a belly laugh out of it because you're trying to keep it, you know, keep it contained. But we do have hysterical moments. There's no doubt about it.
There's definitely big moments, you guys will tell you, because those huge interview scenes are so daunting and so stressful, rewarding but stressful. There's always a point on, like, come 5 o'clock, somebody that says something and it goes, and then we're gone. And you need it. It takes a good 20 minutes and we just laugh it out and then you get back to it. But AD had a couple of corkers this year because AD's got these really brilliant, which he is genius at, but the righteous rant always comes. And if something goes wrong in the middle of the night, righteous rant, like a word, it's a thing of beauty. And there was one particular one this year, I can't remember what he was saying. He was coming after somebody, the case, but he shouted, "There's a herd of elephants coming for you." And it's not in the script. It was just, it came out of him when he was on a rant, and it was just that way we all tried to keep it together, and then somebody went and we were all gone. And it's brilliant. It is like, it's a release, but it's, and what's funny is people trying to hold it together while, because you don't want to fuck, because his take's still going really well out with that line. So you're like, just don't catch him in the eye. So, but when you start to see people going like that around the table and like looking away and heads down and no eye contact, that just makes it worse. And then, yeah, you're just gone.
I remember one year, Martin had, Martin got his notebook, you know, the little police notebooks, and I'd drawn a big dick in it, knowing that he was going to have to. I mean, it's stupid. It's so childish and it's not funny for anyone else, but just see this.
And mate, I forgot to say it to you. It happened again this year. The same dick. Because it just gave me the same notebook, and I was just, you know, because it's just a random page, and I just opened it. I went, "Yeah, bastard." You're just trying, and I always start these scenes, and it's always like AC12 interview. So I've got to be like that at the start, and I'm just flicking through, and I went, "Oh yeah, there's Vicky's dick."
There's Vicky's dick.
AC12 interview of big dick in my notebook, big dick, and you're trying to cover it and hide it and change it, and you don't want to tell anybody else because everybody will go, so you've just got to hide it. Yeah,
you hid Vicky's dick. Now you see, that's gonna hid be Vicky's the headline.
There's your headline.
That's what they're all gonna go with. So you guys all I don't suppose you can tell me, I know that Jed has spoken, I've interviewed Jed a few times, I love that guy, but Jed has said that there will be a season 7, but you can't say anything, can you? Because if you say anything, then we're going to know what happens to any of you, so you're not, there's going to be silence now when I say that.
Yeah, well, there is silence because we don't know, Gabby. That's the bottom line, is we really don't know where Jed's going to take it. You know, and I think that's how he leaves it at the end of every series, doesn't he? You just think, where can it go from here? And then he comes up with an idea of where it's going to go to. But you can't really predict what Jed's going to do. That's the thrill of it all, isn't it? You can't predict where Line of Duty's going next. You can't predict at the end of each episode, as it spins off in a different direction. You know, it's you know, that's the beauty of the show.
How does it feel to have your life turned completely upside down? Martin, I read that you said that people touch you. People come up and just touch you now.
I think that was the first time I went, oh, this is a bit weird. A couple of people, when I was in London on the first series and my hand was in the vice, a couple of people come up and grabbed my hand to look at my hand. And that was bizarre, because I'm like, you know, it's not real. But yeah, what's funny is people run up to you and go, when's it coming out? But don't tell me anything. But this is what happens. So it's kind of good that people don't want to know. But yeah, it does. We're so appreciative of the support the show's had and that people have stuck with it. The word of mouth, it grown from BBC and the audience has grown. It does become a bit overwhelming when the show's on. You kind of just sort of, media-wise, it goes about minute. All of a sudden, you know there's going to be photographers sitting in cars outside your door. You get really paranoid about going out for food and walking, so you're excited for it to get out, but you're kind of excited for it to finish and then they can move on to the next one. But the thing with the show is now, is because it's became that big, it's sort of all year round. As soon as we know, usually we can take a big break and nobody matter. As soon as this one finish, well, hopefully the question is going to be, when's the next one? You know, so it does sort of consume your life a wee bit in good ways and bad ways, but I think, and this is in no ways the high on the list of priorities why we would do another series, but I think because it is the social aspect of the job for all of us and hanging out together, hanging out with the crew is such a huge part of it. And I also think what is one of the main ingredients of what makes the show a success, the fact that was all taken away from us this year and we couldn't do that was pretty tough. So just on a personal level, I wouldn't like to end it like that. I would love to think we've got one more in us where we can all hang out again. We can all go for dinners again. We can have our halfway party with the crew and, you know, have our nights out with the crew. And so I would like to think, for that reason, as I say, that's not a main priority for a TV show, but absolutely, I would like to think I'm back. Yeah, I know you would.
But the notoriety and the fame and the celebrity status, I hate the word celebrity personally, but all of that that goes alongside it, is extraordinary, Vicky. It's become this, you've all, but the three of you have become Morecambe and Wise, Anton Deck, you know, the three of you, you're the triple act, you know. People are obsessed with it. I've had to keep this quiet, and I know that when people know that I've got all three of you, it's going to be, okay, what's happening? I haven't seen the scripts, I don't know. But it is extraordinary. It must be thrilling, but a bit daunting as well, Vicky.
It's kind of weird. I mean, I think for me personally, like when This Is England 86 came out, that felt massive for me, especially because, you know, there was awards and there was things going around it, and it felt very surreal because I'd not long just left my office job. So it was a, like, you know, from one world to another world. But what we're in now is completely different to that, even more so. So I think back then I'd have said, oh, you know, I feel really lucky, but I'm kind of sitting under the radar. Whereas now we're in a very commercial sort of machine of a show, which is amazing to be a part of. But that comes with it, this kind of sort of weird, strange fame that we didn't have at the beginning. And like AD said earlier, you know, we don't have divas on set. You know, we are still the grounded people that we were back then, because we're very sort of, I think because of our backgrounds, we're all in that sort of very gracious place where we're still glad to have the job and don't take it for granted. And Jed's in the same place as well. Like he's, you know, he's very proud of his background and makes a point of making sure that predominantly the show is cast with people from similar backgrounds. And he's very sort of passionate about that. So we are still, you know, people that want to go to the pub, draw dicks in people's notebooks, you know, we're still happy to be like, you know, the sort of normal folk. But we do have this, and especially for AD, like after series five, obviously that was a huge storyline for Hastings, and it just exploded for him. He got the paps set outside his house all the time, and it was like, you know, it's just really sort of odd.
Yeah, that side's horrible. Adrian, does that, I mean, because you have been in, you know, phenomenal films and so many things, but this is different.
It is different. But, you know, unlike the guys, I'm not on any kind of social media or anything. I'm kind of, you know, I've got so many other interests that I'm not focused on what's actually happening with the show. And then something will happen that will kind of shock me or something like that. Because what will happen is I'll be out and I'll see somebody doing something. I think that's a really good thing to do, you know, and I'll think I'll get involved. And I'll walk over and go, that's a really good thing to do. I mean, where did you buy that? And then this person will scream. And I go, what happened there, you know? And they go, oh, my God, it's you. And I forget that. If you just stumble into somebody and go, where'd you get that bag? They go, oh. Then Hastings is asking me where I got my bag. And you forget about stuff like that. That's when it brings it home to me, really. And, it is strange. Of course, you know, at the same time, you know, it's a brilliant thing to happen at any stage in your career. But at this stage where I'm at, it's a fantastic thing to happen later on in your career, to get kind of, you know, when you're kind of ready for it and you're happy for it to happen and you know how to handle it and all that. I'm not sure whether I would have been able to handle this sort of stuff when I was 22 or 23, but certainly, you know, now that I'm 50, it is great. It really is great.
I love the idea of you three, but I know they did it on Gogglebox, but the three of you, I wish you'd do your own show.
We've said this. We have said that if Line of Duty does come to a complete stop,
yeah,
we quite like to do like we was inspired by AD's travel show. So we thought Martin could take us to Vegas and Scotland. AD could obviously take us to Ireland, maybe Australia. He spends a lot of time out there, and I'll bring the guys to Knots.
I mean, come on, who's flying a flying for that? All right, I'll go for a pint in the trip to Jerusalem. What's happening after that?
We'll get loads of stuff. We'll go clubbing.
We'll go on Vicky's tram.
We'll go on my tram. We'll go clubbing. We'll go to Rock City. We'll go to the football.
The 24-hour Greggs.
24-hour Greggs. can have a lovely time.
Yeah, so if there's any producers with money out there,
we're ready.
She's got it sorted. She always has. Guys, thank you very much. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the show. You know, and I always say this, and it's really weird, but there's a few, not a few of us, but there's quite a lot of us that love the ownership that we were there from the beginning.
Yeah, you were, Gabby.
Oh, yeah.
I was there from the beginning, and I bloody love the show, but I also think you guys are, in real life, just genuinely fantastically gorgeous people.
As are you.
Yeah.
No, I really adore you. So Gabby, thank you very much. Good luck with this series.
Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you, Gabby.
Bless you all. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, Gabby very pal. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening. Goodness me, I think you can probably tell how much I love Line of Duty. Thank you so much to our exclusive sponsor of this episode. Go to simprove.com and use the code GABBY15 at checkout. That's GABY15. Now, next week's podcast, we bring you the world's biggest selling author of the moment, Matt Haig. That Gabby Roslin podcast is proudly produced by Cameo Productions. Music by Beth Macari. Please press the subscribe button and it will come straight to your phone on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you choose to listen. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.